Go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 10. And at the same time, keep your finger on Romans chapter 3 as well. I do ask for your prayers, and I will say this. I do know and feel that you have been praying, and that means everything to me. That's how it gets done. That's how we communicate with God. If we want to know what God wants us to do, we got to ask Him. Amen. You got to talk to Him. If I wanted to know if my wife needed something, I need to talk to her. We need to communicate. And that's those prayer lines that are open for a reason. And we have to have that. And I've been praying for such a long time, over this weekend, praying that God would send me what He'd have me to say and what He'd have us to do. And, you know, I really got to thinking about that. And I just began to pray, Lord, I don't ever want to bring a message. I want You to bring it. Because there's nothing within me. There's nothing good within me. It's not me, it's Him, and it's all for Him. And tonight, I just, you know, in preparing and studying and thinking, my testimony came to mind, you know, to start from the beginning, to start thinking about things, to express to everyone here tonight, I guess an explanation of where we are and how we got here today. It's all by God. The title of this is It Is What It Is. I've heard so many different testimonies. I've heard big testimonies, and I've thought about mine, and it seems so small and so little, but it is what it is. It's mine. It's my testimony. It's what God gave me, and I praise God for that. And we'll go ahead and start reading right here in chapter 10, Romans chapter 10, and we'll read verses 1 through 3, and then we'll skip down and we'll go to verses 9 through 15. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Verse number 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we know that there's nothing within us, Lord, that has the ability to do this, Jesus. It's all for You. God, we pray that You do the work through us, God, and we'd be the broken vessel, God, that You would have us to be. Lord, we pray that you would bring the message tonight, God, and that it would be what You would have it to be, Lord. We've tried to pray. We trust and feel with all of our heart, God, this is what You'd have us to do. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, and amen. Going back to verse number 1, and Paul here talking about his heart's desire for Israel, that they might be saved. And one of the first things I got to thinking about is my desire. You know, God will give you the desires of your heart if you'll ask Him. My desire is to see people saved. There's nothing bigger, there's nothing more important than seeing someone saved. Get them giving their life to Jesus. Tell me, what's more important than that? Can you think of anything? Knowing, having that peace, that confirmation, knowing what is more important than that? And see, we live in a day and time too, and Preacher Wynn preached a little bit about this morning. People have their own desires. People have their own things that they're trying to seek out. People have gotten to the point now that it's not so important that they have the spirit involved, but they try to please the flesh. There's many different things out there. Verse number 2, it's talking about, "For I bear them record that they have zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." They have a zeal, a perceived zeal, a fleshly zeal. If I can show you on the outside, maybe you'll believe that I've got it on the inside. It don't work that way. You might fool man. You might put on a shirt and tie and come in and put on a good show, but if the spirit ain't there, you're not going to fool God. No man can fool God. And that's, I can't emphasize that enough. Man attempts to establish his own righteousness, tries to do things within himself. You clean himself up a little bit, try to change his talk. I've talked to a lot of people who said that they thought they'd got saved, and they saw what other Christians did. They tried to do those things. They tried to be those things, but sooner or later, it ran out. If the Spirit's not there, it will run out. It has to be Spirit-driven. It's all of Him. It's nothing in us. For being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They're only fooling themselves, or trying to, but it just will not work. I'll give a brief example here. I remember when I was 8 years old, we were in an awesome service at church, revival service. Don't remember exactly which night it was, but it was a revival service. People were getting saved. There was no doubt that the Spirit of the Lord was there. And I went up. I made a profession. But when I believe Mom had gotten sick, and she had went out to the car, so she wasn't there for it. And I keep thinking back, and I remember that. One of the things I said to her is, "Mom, I guess I got saved tonight." She's like, "Well, what do you mean, honey?" And I told her. I said, "I went up, and I prayed and everything. I was doing going through the motions, okay? The motions of it, not the actual spirit call of it." At that point in time, at 8 years old, I knew I needed to be saved. I'd grown up in church. I knew that the common sense aspect of it was, if all I have to do is ask Jesus to save me, then why not? I mean, I'd be crazy not to do that, right? The problem about it is, I didn't have the knowledge, the understanding of my lost condition. I didn't understand it. I the concepts of it, hearing it's one thing, knowing it's another. And getting to the point of knowing I'm lost, that's a different story. I hadn't gotten to that point yet. There's a difference right there. And that's a hard thing to do in this day and time, is get people to realize that, let people to come to the point of knowing that they're lost. When they see so many different things, they can go through the motions. They can get away with it. Trying to think of different examples and different things. You can get in certain groups that, I remember certain groups in college that they'd have, and certain fellowships that they'd have. They'd get together on one night and praise and worship or talk about God, and then the next night they'd go out drinking together. Now that ain't right. There's a conflict there. That's not real, that's fake, and that just won't work. God didn't ordain that. We're supposed to be called out separate from them, and you can't ride the fence on that. Either you are or you're not. And it's really that simple. It is what it is. We can try to make things a whole lot more difficult than what they are, but it is what it is. At the end of the day, it is what it is. It's that simple. And if you'll flip over to Romans chapter number 3, give an example here. A person has to know, the person has to get lost before they can get saved. Romans 3, verse number 9 says, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jesus and Gentiles that they were all under that they are all under sin, every one of us. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Verse 18, "There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. For all," down at verse number 23, "for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Everybody here needs to realize that. I've spoken with and talked to so many people who have made a profession early in their life when they were just young. And they've tried so hard to hold on to that and think about that. And they just hold that as their, I guess they just automatically think that they're saved. There's some people that think that they're good within themselves. They were born good. They didn't do anything wrong. And therefore, they can't be lost. You know, why would God, he loves me, he wouldn't do this. He wouldn't send me to hell. Everybody's lost until they get saved. We're born that way. That's just the way it is. We're born that way. We're born in sin. Until Jesus comes into our life, there is no salvation. It is what it is. If you're lost, you're lost. If you're saved, you're saved. You know, I keep thinking about different experiences and things in life. If we'll go over to verse number, back to Romans chapter number 10. And down at verse number 18. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I remember I was 8 years old at the first time when that happened. I was eight. And growing up in church, you hear it all your life, you believe it. You have a good understanding of what salvation is, the plan of salvation, what have you. But at that point in time, I remember talking to Mom and Dad sometime after that, after making a profession. You know, I was like, "Mom, I went through the motions. I did what everybody else did on the outside. I did that, but I don't feel any different. Something ain't right. Something's not changed on the inside," because when people would explain to me how they felt when they got saved, I didn't feel that. I didn't have that. Something was wrong. And time went on, and let me tell you, there's a lot of people praying for me during this time. A lot of people. And I remember sitting in the choir on the front row at Mountain Dale, sitting on the front pews. Somebody put their arm on my back, praying for you. I'm praying for you. That's sweet, and that conviction, something started happening down in here. Something started turning. Something said, "Wait a minute. You know, you didn't really feel any different, but now you're starting to realize why. You don't have it. You don't have it. You don't have that salvation." See, at this point in time, I started getting lost. You can't get found until you get lost. It will not happen. if, you know, I've talked to my wife before, we were talking about this and trying to make sense out of some things and explain some things. And if we're going down the road, let's just say we're driving out of here right now. No plans of going anywhere. And you say, oh, you know, halfway down the road, we want to get something to eat, and we've already turned right like we're going back toward Banner Elk. Well, the restaurants are back here in Boone. Should have took a left. But it's not to that point that you realize you're going the wrong way, that's when you realize, I need to turn. I need to turn. And on August 14th, 1988, I remember this. I mean, this is great. I mean, it's the confirmation I needed for my salvation. When I look back on the first time when I was 8 years old, I knew I didn't get it. But on August 14th, we went through the service. Preacher Carl Wilson had preached. It was at Mountain Dale. It was a Sunday night service. And he had preached, and I remember it. I don't remember the exact message, but I remember sitting back there in the choir, sitting in the back corner over in Mountain Dale, and we'd went through the invitation. And I'd fought it and fought it and fought it. That conviction was so hard. And I remember getting down to the very end, the very last part of it, and the last song was played. I was getting ready to set my book down. Brother Earl May was sitting in the back. He said, Brother Clint, I think somebody needs one more verse. That was my verse. That was my confirmation. I'll never forget that. Because when I walked around that corner, Mom was sitting right about here. Now, I know it's at Mountain Dale, but she's sitting right about here, and that smile, that's real. That's real. I didn't get saved from my mama. I got saved because I was lost. And I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. Until you get to that point, you won't find it. You will not find it. And I just remember that night. I believe it was over on the left side of the altar there. I prayed. And I'll never forget how I felt that night. I know it's not about feelings and everything, but praise God it was that night. I felt good. I knew. There wasn't no question. It wasn't, Mom, I guess I got saved. I knew it. There was no question. It's real. I'll never forget that. When I stood up, and it shows the loving church that we have, at Mountain Dale. I stood up, and I didn't realize it. Everything was going on the inside. When I stood up and turned around, the whole church was behind me. Prayer works. But a lot of prayers are going up. A lot of prayers. I praise God for that. That's where it all starts. And you think about that. That was me. And you know what I think about too? I think about, what if Preacher Carl didn't surrender to preach? What if he didn't? What if he didn't answer that call? What if Preacher Wynn didn't surrender to preach? Is that to say that I would not be saved? I can't say that, but you think about all the souls that have sat under these people, and they found salvation from that. That's important to think about. So important to think about. When God starts dealing with your heart and he starts calling about something, think about it. Put it into balance. Weigh it out. Think about it. Think about it. There's such peace and salvation that night. I keep thinking back to that. And that's been something that I've been able to hold on to. In talking to other people that have questioned it, you know, I praise God that I've not had to deal with that. Because that, I know that's a hard thing to deal with. That's such a hard thing to deal with. I remember talking to my wife, and it was talking to Brandy. And I've talked to her about this beforehand. She had prior approval to use this as an example. So we're in the good on that. But I keep thinking back to her situation. She grew up in a different background than I did. You know, growing up here, going to church all my life, I take a lot of things for granted. A whole lot of things. God has blessed us richly growing up in churches and environment that we have. We never need to take that for granted. Never. And in talking to her, she was just kind of, she'd gotten saved. She'd professed salvation at a young age. And we grew, you know, as when we started dating and everything, we talked about this. It was, we understood that we believed we both were saved, you know, getting ready to get married and everything, not to be unequally yoked. We tried to do everything as best we could, search things out. And then sometime after that, we started going to church at Boone Baptist. And we went through the service and everything, and I don't remember what the service, the message was about. I don't remember. But we had to come back. We had to stop at Harris Teeter for something. I don't remember what it was. And she was driving. We was in her car. She pulled in the parking place there and stopped. And she said, "Jason, something ain't right." I'm like, "Well, what are you talking? What do you mean? What's going on?" She said, I don't think I'm saved." Now, let me tell you something. I was scared to death. It wasn't nobody to turn to. It was me and her and my little boys in the car. We had our Bibles. We just had left church. That was scary. That scared me because, like, God, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? You know, kind of put you on the spot. But, you know, the more I think about that, I should have been prepared. I should have been studied. I should have been mature in the Word. I should have put time and effort in the Bible. That shouldn't have been a situation of shock. I should have been prepared. Keep that in the back of your mind because you don't know who you're going to face. You have no idea. God puts people in all of our paths for some reason. It's something to think about. And we started talking about it, and I was nervous, and I think she could tell it because she said, "Well, we'll just talk about it when we get home." And I was like, no. Let's talk about it now. Let's stop right now and think about this. And I remember asking her, "Brandy, if you were to die right now, do you know that you'd go to heaven?" And she started crying. She said, "No, I don't." She got lost. She got lost. Praise God, she prayed right there. You don't have to be in church to be saved, by the way. You can get saved anywhere. You don't have to be in church to be called to preach either. You can be anywhere. God can reach you. Ask Jonah. God can reach you. You can't run from him. You can't run from him. But that was such a blessing, you know, to be there firsthand and experience that firsthand in a situation like that, because I'd never experienced something like that. That's real. And, you know, sometime after that, like Preacher Wynn said, we've talked about this many different times, about, you know, "Preacher, I think God's called me to preach. I don't know. I don't understand this." And, you know, it caused me to check up on my salvation. It was so real, that conviction. Is just, the only thing I can compare it to is before being saved. And that conviction I felt sitting in the pew and knowing that I needed salvation, and I got it. Well, in light of what we just talked about, I knew that I was saved, but I wanted to check up. I had to check up. I was like, "God, if I'm lost, save me." And it was almost, and I mean this respectfully, but it's almost comical. Because, "Jason, you know you're saved. You know that. That ain't what you need. You know that." And having that peace of mind is just, it's real. It's real. There's no joke in that. So I continue to pray. You know, maybe he wants me to teach Sunday school. Maybe he wants me to sit in the choir. Maybe he wants me to do many different things, but nothing seemed to suffice. Nothing. And it just kept growing. It kept growing. And then it's just like every time I'd get close to the Lord, it would get so strong. There's times that me and Brandy had gotten out of church, and I'd gotten out of church before she and I'd met. But every time I would get closer to God, that conviction would come back every single time. And then it just here this past year, like I said, coming back in contact with Preacher Wynn, it started coming back again. It's back about the beginning of the year, I guess. And I just remember this feeling, I don't want to stop this. Every single time that I've felt this way, it's like I put the brakes on, I'd run, there was never any peace. Never any peace. All these different thoughts of God. "You don't want me. Ain't nothing I can do. You don't want me." And, you know, and you think about things, and you consider things and you think about what God has done for you. Yeah, God, I want to serve you, but you don't want me. You want somebody good. You want somebody that knows what they're doing. God chose by the foolishness of preaching to do this. And as time went on, and I praise God for our pastor, I do. Church, we got a good pastor. We really do. We need to be thankful for that. And never one time did he push me. Never one time did he pull me. My parents, my grandparents, none of my friends. I can honestly say I have never been pressured by anyone to preach. Not one. That in itself tells me a whole lot. And I remember about, I guess, these last couple of weeks, I'd come to church and heard some of the best messages, tried to enjoy it, tried so hard to enjoy it. It's good. But this knowing that about the time that we needed to do an invitation to come, my heart, that conviction, just pulling, wouldn't go away. And I kept feeling like, you're going to miss it. You're going to stand up, you're going to look like a fool, and you're going to miss it. This ain't what you want to do. The flesh will tell you a lot of things, a whole lot of things. The flesh is weak. But last Sunday, that message really got a hold of me. Last minute labors, that really got a hold of me. Jason, what are you doing? You've already wasted 10, 15 years. What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? Is God not worthy? Are you not praising the Lord in your heart for your salvation? Is that not real to you? Why can't you share that with somebody else? And time went on, and I felt like, well, you're just getting emotional. You're going to do something irrational, not thinking things through. Because I'm the type of person, I like to plan it all out. Like tonight, I've said things already. I had no idea I was going to say, okay? I mean, it's just how it is. And after Sunday, had a great time with my family, got to go to a baptizing. The Lord was with me all day long last Sunday. All day long. We were off for the holiday on Monday and had to do some yard work, do some things. I was off to myself. There was no pressure. And there again, there was never any pressure from anybody, but there was no pressure. Just out mowing the yard. And this thought, this feeling kept coming back. You need to do something. You're going to have to do something. Because I'd prayed this whole week, Lord, if you're not in this, stop it. If this is me trying to work something up in my flesh, even if it was for good intentions, stop it if it's not of you. Stop it. And it didn't do anything but intensify. It got stronger. And I was mowing the yard Monday and everything, and I was just thinking, it come over me. Let it go. Let it go. You remember how you felt when you got saved that night? You remember that? You remember that peace? What if you get it if you surrender? What if you get it? And it got to the point that I was willing to swing and miss if I had to. It'd be worth it. It'd be worth it just to know. And I called Preacher Wynn. I was like, man, I'm going to have to do something. I can't do this anymore. And I remember talking to my wife, and boy, let me tell you, she's a blessing. I love my wife. I really do. It's been a stressful thing for us. It really has. It really has. But she stood by me, and I praised God for her. And finally she said, Jason, you're not going to have any peace unless you do this. You're not going to have it. And that last Monday, that peace come across. It was real, and I just felt at ease. Okay? And talking to the pastor, and he said, okay, you need to tell the church. You need to do it right. You need to tell the church. He said, let's pray about this thing and see what happens. And I remember praying Monday. I was such peace. It was real. It was so real. Tuesday was great. Now, let me tell you, Wednesday's a little bit different. Wednesday morning, I got up, had this feeling, what are you doing? You're crazy. What are you doing? And I just kept thinking about it. What if that night that I got saved, what if I didn't surrender that night? what if? But I remember that peace and surrender. There's peace in surrender. There's peace in salvation. And I tell you what, I went through it, the day knowing what I was planning on doing Wednesday night. And when it come down to it, I guess about 4:30 or so when I was on the way home, this peace came over me. You know, it's like I knew what I was going to do, Lord willing, unless he stopped it. I knew what he was going to do. When I got to church, I enjoyed the lesson. I knew what I was going to do. It wasn't this, are you not? Are you not? You're going to do it. Why? Because I want you to. You've done sold out now. Do it. Man, I tell you, that was great. And this morning, well, after that, after standing up and telling the church, I felt so confident in that. Felt so together in that. Not in me, but just knowing that this is what Jesus wants me to do. Amen. This is what God has called me to do. Amen. That confirmation. It's there. And there has been sweet peace ever since that. It's been real. It's been peaceful. It's been peaceful around the house. I don't feel like I have to talk about it every 2 seconds and drive Brandy crazy. It's there. It's real. It's real to me. I guess the whole time I was trying to get confirmation from her. You can't do that. You can't ask somebody if you're saved. You can't ask somebody if you're called to preach. You can't do that. That's between you and the Lord. That's real. That's real. But I've had such peace since that. Which, there again, I read this Wednesday night, and I'm not trying to be redundant, but it's so good. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I praise God for that. Things look bleak out here. Things look bad. There's a lot of stuff going on that you or I cannot control. We can pray, and God's going to do his will. I tell you, I was talking to some folks at work a while back, and I said, guys, I'm not trying to be gloom and doom, but I don't see this thing doing an upswing anymore. You know, we go through different things, and I don't know what's going to happen. It don't matter what's going to happen. I know I'm with the one that knows. That's what it's all about, which led me right back to the same circle. Everything in my life led me right back to one thing. What matters? What matters? I used to think that my career was the best thing in this entire world. The best thing. I mean, I honestly got to the point that I was living for it. And I enjoy it. I mean, it's a good career. I mean, it has its ups and downs just like anything else. But I got to thinking about this the other week, too. I got to thinking about, okay, let's say you're not being called to preach. Let's say you have missed it. Are you content in just going right back to what you were doing? And I got sad. Man, I got down. I got down about that. I was like, Lord, I don't want to do that. I don't want to just go back to what I've been doing. Lord, please, no. God showed me there's a better way. There's a better calling. Law enforcement's necessary and it's needed, but preachers are needed. Witnesses are needed. People that's not ashamed to stand up and say, what the Lord has done for you. That's what a witness is. How many people in here are saved tonight? Raise your hand. Each and every one of you are a witness. I can go to Acts chapter 9 and I can tell you what happened to Paul. I wasn't there, but I can tell you. But as before August 14th, 1988, I can tell you face to face what happened for me. That's real. Amen. And every one of you that raised your hand and saved, you can do the same thing. That's real. And I remember talking to Brandy a while back, and it's just this feeling, this desire. Two things that if there's two things I could be involved with, this is what I want to do. One, see sinners saved. And two, encourage Christians. Be an encouragement, be a help, uplifting, because we need it. Amen. We need that. We need that so bad in this day and time. And there again, God gives confirmation in that. But there's two things that I, that that I want us to focus on tonight. That's first of all, being saved. Knowing that you're saved. And if there's anybody here that has a feeling of service for the Lord, I'm not even going to say what it is because I don't know what it is. That's between you and the Lord, nobody else. But I want you to think about that. And as a testimony, this is my testimony, and it is what it is. Nothing more, nothing less. It is what it is. It's mine. But I do want you to know that there's peace and surrender, and there's peace and salvation. And I was thinking back and looking at my Bible, and I got to write in my Bible. I'll go ahead and tell this. I wasn't planning on this, but I'm excited about it. August 14th, 1988, saved. October 9th, 1988, baptized. September 6th, 2010, surrendered to preach. Praise his name. September 8th, 2010, announced at Mount Lebanon. September 12th, 2010, preached the first message at Mount Lebanon. It is what it is. It's all for him. It ain't me. It's all for him. It's all for him. Preacher Wynn, that's all I have.